Well, thanks everyone for being involved in the drama. It's good to hear you roaring back at us there. It's really what the drama's done is it's given me a bit of a free kick to just to be able to get on and explain what this Daniel in the Lion's Den story actually means for us as we live as Christians. And so I don't need to explain so much of the story, but I can just get on explaining what it means for our lives. So let me pray and I'll do that. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the story of Daniel. We pray that you would help us to be able to concentrate and to be able to listen and to understand what it means for our lives. And we pray that even more than that, you would help us to put its teaching into practice. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think the first thing we need to realise is that we're not in the same situation as Daniel. Daniel was facing life and death. If he didn't listen to the king, then he was going to be thrown to the lion's den. He was going to die, or at least he thought he was. It was a life and death situation. But often in the Western world, we don't face those kind of situations anymore. Our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world certainly do face those kind of situations, and we should pray for them. But by and large, I imagine in your life, it's not like that for you. It's not life and death being a Christian. Yet I want to say that Daniel in the Lion's Den is a story which is particularly relevant for us today because of the question that it asks. And the question that it's really asking is, who do we fear? Who am I afraid of? Who are you afraid of? And it's a question that Daniel has to ask himself when he's confronted with this decree. And really what Daniel does is he epitomises what it means to be a faithful follower of God. And so Daniel, if you have a look at verses 9 and 10, when he hears about this decree from the king, the first thing he does, he's not rebellious about it. He doesn't go out into the streets and start shouting at the top of his lungs and saying, you know, I'm going to pray to whoever I want. But what does he do? Well, he goes into his room and he prays. And you think, well, it'll be easy for Daniel to not be caught out. In those days, people got down on their knees to pray. Daniel had the window open so that people could look in and could see him praying. But you'd think, well, it'd be easy for him to find a way out of it. All he would have to do is maybe just lay down on his bed, pretend that he was sleeping, pray silently, not pray out loud anymore. No one would ever really notice. But Daniel is working out who he will fear. Will he fear the king, and will it drive him to actually those kind of tactics, or will he fear God? And as you saw in the play, Daniel chose to fear God. And what we learn from that is we are never more faithful than when we fear God above men. Now, I think in our day and age, the way this really relates to us is that often we're afraid of what people think of us. Sometimes we want people to really accept us and approve of us. And sometimes we can be tempted to just tone down our faith a little bit to make ourselves a little bit more acceptable before other people. And I want to give you an example from my own life. I was at a family gathering probably about 6 months ago, catching up with lots of family. And my uncles, I really love my uncles, so they came over and they decided to start telling some really dirty jokes to me. And now they know that I'm training to be a minister. And so here they are, they're telling these dirty jokes, and I'm thinking, the punchline's going to come, and what do I do if I laugh along and go, that's a good one? Well, straight away I've just compromised my faith in God. But if I kind of storm off and go, that's disgusting, then, you know, I've kind of fractured the relationship. And so I felt torn in this moment of, what do I do? Do I pander for their approval? Or do I put my devotion to God first? And I imagine that you've faced that before, maybe at your workplace, maybe, you know, at Christmas when all the family come together. What do you do in that kind of situation? Often people who come from families where their parents and their extended family aren't Christians really have to battle this out. There's this subtle pressure that goes on. Where people kind of make you feel a little bit uncomfortable for being a Christian. And it can be easy to just want to tone down your faith and to go under the radar so that people will think better of you than they might otherwise. But what Daniel teaches us is that we are never more faithful to God than when we fear him above men, when we fear him more than other people. And I think after King Darius in the drama that was acted out actually sees that Daniel's God is able to save him, he actually realizes that Daniel's God is the one who should be feared. It's not King Darius who should be feared. It's not anyone else. And that's what he says in verse 26. King Darius says, "I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel." This egotistical king who wanted everyone to worship him says, "No, I was totally wrong. Everyone must fear and reverence God." And so Daniel, he kind of outlines for us what it looks like to be a faithful follower of our God. But there's actually another man who kind of colours in the lines of what that looks like. There's a man who lived in the world, but he didn't become contaminated by the world. There's a man who went to wild parties, but he didn't become sucked in to the immorality that went on at those parties. You've probably guessed that I'm talking about Jesus. People criticised him, they rebuked him, they said that what he was doing was absolutely wrong. Yet he never pandered for people's approval. He didn't worry about what people thought of him. He didn't try to live up to other people's expectations. He didn't try to conform to the kind of expectations that people had on him. And so really, this story, Daniel in the Lion's Den, actually points forward to the Lord Jesus as the one that we should follow, as the one who never compromised his faith, despite it meaning that he would go all the way to the cross. Now, you might be thinking, well, Daniel's example, that's pretty amazing. But the example of Jesus, that's even more amazing. What chance is there for me to live faithfully if that's the kind of standard that I need to live up to? After all, Jesus, he's the Son of God. What chance is there for me to live up to that kind of standard? Well, what I want to say is we have actually been given the Spirit of Jesus. The one who is the master of faithfulness has actually given us his Spirit to help us to do that. And so if you have your Bibles there, you might like to just flip up to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, it talks about the kind of spirit that we've been given. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." We haven't been given a spirit of timidity, a spirit of cowardice that we need to give way to every opinion that people have of us. We haven't been given a spirit that makes us fear when people criticise us. We haven't been given a spirit that means that when we're out with our mates and they're carrying on and they're doing things that we wouldn't approve of, that we need to conform to them. We've actually been given a spirit of power. And that's what we need, because there's times when we'll feel that pressure to just tone down our faith a little bit. But we've been given a spirit of power so that we can actually overcome those temptations. We've been given a spirit of love so that we won't think that we're better than everyone else when we see them not acting in a way that's godly. We've been given a spirit of self-control so that we won't compromise, but we're actually able to know where the boundaries are and to stay within them so that we can be faithful to our God. And the way I think of this is, I think of it as, when I ask my kids to go and clean the toy room up at the end of the day, I say, "Kids, I want you to go and clean the toy room up." And I come back 10 minutes later and it doesn't look much different. And what it is they actually need a little bit of help. They need a bit of guidance to say, "Oh, don't play with that toy right now, just put it away. Oh, this thing goes over there at the moment, you know, that's where it goes, can you put it over there? Oh, these things need picking up, can you pick them up?" They actually need a little bit of help to be able to tidy the toy room up at this young age. And we actually need help to remain focused on our God, to be faithful. We need help to actually know what is the right thing to do. We need power from above to be able to resist temptation. And God has given us His Spirit, not a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-control. And so we should really give thanks that our God gives us that kind of spirit to help us live faithfully to Him. Let me pray, and then I'll ask if we have any questions. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the example of Daniel and the way that he lived faithfully in very hard circumstances. And we thank You for more, even for the Lord Jesus, who laid down His life in obedience to You. We pray that in the power of Your Spirit, You would help us not to compromise, but to be people that are devoted to You in every situation. We thank You so much that this Christian life we live is not one that we live on our own, but that we live it in the strength of Your Spirit. Amen. Okay. Would anyone like to ask a question or make a comment? Yeah, Andrew. I was trying to think of what I did, actually. I don't think I handled it very well, actually. I think I might have made some rude comment to one of my uncles that said, you know, that's a bit off, or, you know, you've lost the plot or something like that, which probably wasn't actually very loving of them. I don't know what I would do again, but I think I did the wrong thing, actually, in that I kind of took the mickey out of my uncle. Maybe I should have just been honest and said, I don't really want to hear that. That probably would have been the best thing to do. Yeah, it's difficult.
Do you think they were trying to test
you? Oh, I think so. I think so, but I think they were also being themselves as well. Yeah. Okay, aren't the kids doing well? Yeah. How are the adults going? Okay. All right, we'll leave it there.